Good morning, Lakeside. Good to see all of you guys here this morning. My name is Josh Daggett. I'm the lead pastor at Living Waters Fellowship in South Des Moines, and I bring you greetings from the South Side. My family and I are here this morning. If you are newer to Living Waters, Living Waters Lakeside. I did really good at 8:30, but 10, not starting off so great. We bring you greetings from South Des Moines, and you guys helped plant us in 2008, and the picture on the left, I think I've got a picture here, yep, is of Danielle, my wife and I, and our oldest daughter Marie. We're actually on a boat with Dave Heisterkamp in that photo in 2007, somewhere in there on the lake. And then the picture on the right is us now. And we have a lot of girls in our home, and we bring you greetings from Southside of Des Moines. So our church in South Des Moines that we started from here is in a grocery store now. We bought a Fairway building in Southeast Des Moines, and we are loving it right there. We are $3 million into a $3.6 million renovation, and we are trusting God for great things. We love it in South Des Moines. I think we have 23 countries represented in our church, which is wonderful, and we love reaching the urban area. It's a mixing pot of a lot of different things, but very grateful to be back home here at Lakeside. A lot of great memories here. We love what God is doing in South Des Moines, but we also pray for you guys up here in Polk City, and are very thankful to be here. So, it's an honor to be with you. If you have a copy of God's Word, go ahead and open it up to Psalm 118. So Psalm 118 is where we'll be this morning, and I want to preach a sermon of celebration, and I feel like I'm the kickoff guy for your 20-year anniversary. And so 20 years ago, we had a core group. I think we had a picture there. You can go back. Yeah, here's the core group meeting in Kurt Subra's garage, and we met in the loft of a garage for our very first service. And since that moment, God has been doing amazing things at Lakeside Fellowship to the praise and glory of Jesus. Amen? So praise the Lord for what he's doing in your church. From 05 to 08, we had the privilege of being core group members. We poured thousands of hours into this community, going door to door, knocking on doors, sharing the gospel, doing Bible studies, preaching the word. And my goal this morning is to give you kind of a feel for the first 3 years of Lakeside Fellowship, because I took off in 2008 as a 26-year-old church planter. You guys sent me out. I'm just giving you a little feel. The rest of the speakers for the rest of the month will give you like the next chapters of Lakeside, and I was gone and away during those seasons. But I want to give you a feel this morning of what God did in those first few years. And I want to talk about three things. I want to talk about God's word, Psalm 118. I want to talk about some Lakeside stories. Many of them are funny. And I want to talk about Jesus, most of all. And so I think we can accomplish those three things as we dig in to Psalm 118 together. And so your theme for the 20 year is this: rooted in Christ, growing in grace. Rooted in Christ and growing in grace. And I hope that we can get rooted in the truth this morning, share some wonderful memories of what God has done, and then grow in grace. Look to the future of what God might be calling Lakeside to in the next season. My sermon title this morning is Reasons to Praise God. Reasons to Praise God. And I think if we interviewed everybody here this morning and I said, hey, what are your reasons to praise God this morning, all of us would have the same reasons, but they would be different in according to our individual lives, right? Because when we say, I praise God, or I praise Jesus for what he's done in my life as a Christian, we know that that is not some sort of superficial, cheap platitude. It's not some sort of shallow phrase. When you praise God this morning, you raise your hands to him, there's layers to that, isn't there? Amen? There's a lot of different things that come into your mind when you praise God. Sometimes you praise God with tears coming down your cheeks because you're so full of sorrow, you don't know what else to do. Sometimes you're at the top of the world, the mountaintop is yours, and you're praising Jesus with everything because he's been so good to you. And sometimes you praise God because you're just being faithful in the moment, and it's kind of boring, and it's kind of just daily, you know? The only thing that's hard about the Christian life is that it's so daily, amen? And some of you, when you praise Jesus, you're just in that faithful spot. No matter where you're at, we praise God for lots of different reasons. And Psalm 118 points us to that. Psalm 118 is a psalm of victory. We don't know who the author of Psalm 118 is, but we know this. It is the last section of the Hallel Psalms. So it's a series of psalms that the people of God would sing in the Old Testament. And this is probably, Psalm 118 is probably the last song that Jesus sang before he went to the cross. Matthew chapter 26, verse 30 says that Jesus and his disciples sang a hymn and then they went out to Christ's suffering. This is probably the last song that Jesus sang, Psalm 118. So as we come in with that context, we look at the theme of Psalm 118, and it is a declaration of giving God praise or giving him thanks. And it is because of his steadfast love. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, verse 1, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. And then the psalmist gives three things in a row. He says, let Israel say, the steadfast love of the Lord endures forever. Then let the house of Aaron say. And then let those who fear the Lord say. What is the psalmist trying to communicate? He's trying to communicate that everybody in the community of God should give praise to God for his steadfast love, no matter who you are. And I think Lakeside Fellowship could pick up on that this morning, can't we? And we can give Jesus praise no matter who we are. Whether you're a pastor, whether you're a member, whether you're here for the first time, you can give God praise because his steadfast love endures forever. If you look at Lakeside, 20 years of evidence now, 20 years of celebration that God's steadfast love has endured for this church. Amen? Think about that. You're here this morning because your alarm clock went off. Can I get a praise to Jesus? You're here because somehow, according to human determination, you're like, yes, I need to make a choice to come to church today. But in the divine perspective of Scripture and the divine message of the gospel, you are here not because you're alarm clock, not because of your will mainly, but because God's hesed, faithful love has been good to you. That's why you're here. And you can look at Lakeside and you can say, wow, God has done so many things. But you can point to the end game of that as the hesed love of God. Now, I'm gonna be giving some perspective here, because as we go into Psalm 118, you can see it's not just a straight line. Sometimes in our Christian life, right, we have a plan and then God has a plan. All right, now, tell me if you've seen this picture before. Your plan, you come to Christ and you're like, yes, amen. I have the perfect plan for my Christian life. It is going to be smooth sailing on the bike all the way to the finish line. Can I get a Christian hallelujah? Right? The second picture, reality, is what Jesus actually has for us. Can I get a reality amen? That's how the Christian life really is. You're going to go through the fires of affliction. You're going to come up and through some sort of spider web thing. I don't know what that is all about. Then the shark tank, and then maybe a big climb, and then you get to the end. But that is what Psalm 118 tells us about the Christian life. We praise God because we have lots of reasons to, and some of them are hard, and some of them are difficult, but God is good and faithful throughout it all. So here's my big idea as we come into the text. We praise God because we have lots of reasons to do so. So we're going to get five reasons of why we praise God as we celebrate 20 years of Lakeside Fellowship. I'm going to give you five reasons that we praise God this morning. Reason number one, we praise God because he stood by us in our distress. Verses 5 through 9. Look with me in verse 5. Out of my distress, I called to the Lord, and the Lord answered me and set me free. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? And then in verse 8 and 9, the psalmist says, it is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man, and it's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. We praise God this morning at Lakeside because he stood by us in our distress. Can I get a Christian witness this morning? Any of you ever been in distress? Some of you are walked in with some distress. You're walking in. What does that Hebrew word mean? In verse 5, the word distress there means to be tight. It means to be in a narrow space. It needs to be in a place of constricted circumstances. Some of you walked in constricted in a tight spot, and you need God this morning. Some of you walked in saying, Lord, I am in a distressed place. The reason we praise God is because when we're in a distressed place, we call out to him. And what does the word say? The word says, we call out to the Lord and he set me free. He literally opens up to me wide open fields, wide open spaces. When Christians call out to God, when we're distressed, he brings us in his goodness to wide open spaces. Amen? That's good. Now, if you've ever been squeezed by trials, you know that you can't handle these things. You need God to be your helper. You need God to be by your side. And that is exactly what the psalm promises. The Lord is on my side. Because he is that, I will not fear. Now, if we think about distress, in our distresses, this is how Lakeside was built. Lakeside was built on some distresses. Yes, church planting is exciting, and yes, it's wonderful, but it also has some stressful moments. Let me give you a little story of yesteryear. So we're starting this church called Lakeside Fellowship. We are renting out West Elementary School. It's the year 2005, 2006. We are not under the good graces of the school in order to rent the entire school. We get a section of the school. All right, we get the cafeteria. And we also get some sort of storage room on the other side that's not really soundproof. So the nursery, you can hear the babies crying while Dave is preaching. And so Ron was our janitor, and so he would open up the school for us. Well, one morning, problem, there's no power to that section of the building. And we're having church. And I remember thinking, it's dark, Dave's going crazy, he's throwing stuff around, he's yelling at everybody, the core group's putting chairs everywhere. And we're like, it's pitch dark, what are we gonna do? And I remember I was door greeter that morning, and I'm like, one of the guys named Josh, he was a core group member, he came up to me, he's like, what are we supposed to do? Are we having church this morning? And I'm like, I'm not the lead pastor, go ask Dave. So anyway, I remember greeting people and I'm like, welcome to the church of darkness. We hope you find Jesus and we hope you survive the pitch black church experience that you're about ready to walk into. So anyway, somehow we have a generator, we have something that causes the projector to work. So we have distress that morning and people are coming in and they're sitting in darkness. And we're singing, and we're like, this is the craziest church plant morning of all time. Dave is next to a projector like this. This is how he's preaching the Bible for the morning. Preachers, if you think you have it hard, you don't have it hard. Dave had it hard this morning. And he's sharing the gospel, and here we go. And I'm like, what could God be possibly doing in our distressed morning? Well, God was drawing a certain woman to Christ. Terry Johnson came into church that morning in her distress. And in her distress, she met us in our distress. And we called out to the Lord together and she got saved that morning. Amen? In the darkness, she found the light of Jesus. Here's what I'm saying. When we have distress, we need to give it to God. We praise him because he has been by our side. in the distress. Reason number two that we praise God is because he brings the victory. Okay, the second reason we praise God this morning is because he brings the victory. Verse 10, all the nations surrounded me in the name of the Lord. I cut them off. They surrounded me on every side. They were like bees that surrounded me. Verse 12, they went out like fire among thorns. And in the name of the Lord, I cut them off. I was pushed hard so that I was falling, but the Lord helped me. We praise God because he brings the victory when we need it the most. You can see the psalmist is crying out in verses 10 through 13, asking for deliverance. He's saying, I've got enemies. And then he starts using metaphors. I got enemies that are like bees surrounding me. Can I get a hatred of bees? Amen. Man, who doesn't hate bees? I mean, that metaphor hits because you're like, whoa, I hate bees. I hate getting stung. I don't like them. I like the honey that they produce, but I don't like them. They have enemies that are coming up like thorns in a engulfing flame. So if you get a picture of yourself hiking in some really hot desert area and you feel like things are about ready to burst into flame, that's what the Christian life feels like when you have an enemy right in front of you. You feel like the psalmist is saying, there's fire among thorns. And then if you are being pushed so hard that you're falling, some of us have had enemies, brothers, sisters who have pushed you down and they threaten, right, you in a lot of ways. And you're getting pushed down, and that is the feeling of the psalmist. I was being pushed down by my enemies. And in the name of the Lord, he helped me, and I cut them off. I don't know if this is a bulletin to some of you, but the Christian life is filled with enemies. It's not just friends everywhere. You have enemies, the world, your own flesh, and Satan himself. And some of you can put names and faces on enemies. And here's the reality. When we see Christ moving in our life, we will have enemies. And we praise God because the victory is not ours. The victory that we get in the Christian life is because God brought the victory. Can I get a hallelujah? Hallelujah. Your victories this morning are because God did it, not because you did it, because you were feeling the weight of the enemies surrounding you. And the Lord helped you. When we planted Living Water or Lakeside in the very beginning, we had some big wins. There were some big wins over enemies. And my first one is that of a basketball story. Is that Pastor Dave maybe shooting a basket? Yeah, in his dreams. In his dreams. Dave was our coach. That is an old church league basketball photo from 2005. Dave was our coach, and we needed a victory over our enemies, Sailorville Church. Can I get an amen? So we had to play the mother church in the church league basketball tournament, and we got the victory. Hallelujah. Dave will tell you it was all coaching. So after we beat Sailorville, all joking aside, it was kind of a fun moment. I went and found an old trophy from the 1970s. And I said, hey, this will work. So we plastered Coach of the Year on it. And the next morning at West Elementary School, we gave Dave a Coach of the Year trophy. So that's silly, but it was needed. We wanted to get that victory over Sailorville. But the picture on the left, that's the Cup Insurance Company building down the square. That used to be Lakeside Fellowship's building on the square. Before we had any property at church, we needed a place to office out of, and God provided that building. And when we raised all this money, we knew that we wanted to be in the community. We wanted to really see people meet Jesus, but we wanted to also communicate that we were going to be in town for more than a nanosecond on Sunday mornings renting out a gym. And so when we bought that building, there was a lot of work to do. There was a lot of finances to trust God for. And ultimately, if you were around during that day, we did a lot of manual labor. There was a lot of ripping up of studs. There was a lot of insulation, so much insulation. and so much dirt and grime. But here was the thing, like, we knew this was going to be a massive victory for Lakeside Fellowship to have a presence in the community we were trying to reach. And I will never forget, after the renovation was all done, there was some beautiful moments of victory that happened in that little building. There was this one young punk named Grant Etherington who came into Dave's office on a Thursday night, and we led Grant to Jesus. Now, I'll never forget that meeting where Dave led what would be his future son-in-law to Christ. I remember getting together and just having community for the first time, getting guys together for events. I remember watching the NCAA tournament March Madness. I remember Ali Farokmanesh from UNI hitting that huge three-pointer against Kansas. And I remember all the guys in the building were going crazy because he hit this shot. And if you remember the building back in the day, they had the French doors that didn't lock. Remember that? They're the French doors. Just the doors are always open to the community, right? And we open up those communities. We're walking around, going, we're number one. But we were having these moments, right? In this building, we gave out hot chocolate on the square. But what I remember that building most for is when they commissioned me to go plant a church. And I remember sitting in that front room crying because I was going to have to leave my Lakeside family. And I remember just thinking about the victory that God had brought us through it to that point, to be in that moment. There was a lot of tears. There's a lot of sorrow to leave my church family. We couldn't imagine 26 years old launching into a tougher spot in the city to go plant a church, not knowing what God was going to do. But listen, we are here to storm the gates of hell. Amen? That's what church planting is all about. And when we have enemies that surround us, which we always do, we have to trust the Lord to bring the victory, and we praise him when he does. Reason number three that we praise God is because he's given us songs to sing. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Glad songs of salvation are in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of God does valiantly. We praise God with our songs. God gives us songs. The psalmist is clearly pointing us to the reality that the Lord is his strength and his salvation and his song. Glad songs of salvation are in the tents of the righteous. You know, it's often songs that bring a Christian to a tremendous place of growth. Can I get a singing amen? You guys like to sing? Yeah, man, we sing. Christians are singers. Do you ever notice that? We sing a lot in the Christian church. Why? Because we are praising God with our songs. Now, when are your songs most powerful? Normally after you are distressed, and normally after a victory over your enemies, that's when the singing gets really good. But Christians have always been singers because Jesus has put a song in our heart. And this is the reality. Glad songs of salvation are in the tent of the righteous. Jesus sang a lot. Paul and Silas famously sang in Acts 16, verses 16 through 40. We remember Paul and Silas singing in jail as they are being jailed for the cause of Christ. And here they are singing. Lakeside has always sang a song. This is a picture of some of the singing that happened in West Elementary School. Some of you remember this season of time at the church. This is Nate Nemmers leading. Now, Nate has moved on to New City Church. But I remember we always had songs to sing. And they were always good. With Nathan Nemmers, you always had to hold your breath a little bit. Can I get an amen? You always had to hold your breath just a little bit. Like, we never know where Nathan's going, but we know he's going to make a joyful noise to the Lord. So as we were getting established, we're singing songs, and Nathan's like, hey, it's Christmas service coming up. We want to do a really big thing in the first few years of our church. Let's do a really big thing. Let's sing Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree. Now, that would never fly at Lakeside Fellowship these days, never. But at that time, you're like, sure, go for it. We're here to reach sinners. Let's just figure it out. So here's Nathan. Boom. Two, one, two, three, four. Rocking around the Christmas tree. And everybody's just looking like, what kind of church is this? The other song that I remember was Dave at Easter time. It's about 06, 07, somewhere in there. But Dave's big idea for Easter was to have a live lamb at church. Lambs do a certain kind of singing, y'all. Amen? So here comes Dave, and here comes the lamb. The lamb is bleeding like crazy. Now, I just want to tell you about Jesus. If you've never given your life to Christ, I'm telling you, that's some kind of song, okay? That's some kind of song, and you're just sitting there in the gym like, hey, we get an A-plus for church planting creativity, amen? But we had such sweet times of singing. In the cafeteria, we sang. In the dark cafeteria sometimes. In the gymnasium, we sang. At funerals, we sang. Those are powerful songs. At weddings, we sang. At Big Creek, we sang. And you guys are still singing. Amen? I remember double dunking Craig Sparks. Poor Amanda. She's like, sure, they gave my husband the rookie baptizer. And I'm next. What's he gonna do to me? You know what I mean? But I remember the singing at Big Creek. I remember the songs of Lakeside. We praise God with our songs. Never lose your song. Reason number four that we praise God, it's because he's given us the gospel to celebrate. Verses 19 through 25. Open to me the gates of righteousness. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It's marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. The psalmist is talking about walking into the gates of righteousness, into this holy temple set in front of him. And the gate of the Lord, the righteous going through it. And he says something crazy. He says, oh yeah, and the stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone of this righteous temple. This is marvelous in our eyes, and it's the Lord's doing. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Now, many of you have that verse memorized. Verse 24, you say that all the time, but listen about the context. The gospel is celebrated here. The psalmist is saying, let me walk into this righteous temple, and all of a sudden, the stone that the builders rejected, there's a stone that the builders were looking through for their cornerstone. Every good building is built with a solid cornerstone. That makes sure the building's going to be sound and good and wonderful. And the psalmist says, oh yeah, the builders were looking through all the stones, and they threw away that stone. They didn't consider it worthy. That stone has become the chief cornerstone of the temple of righteousness. And everybody in Israel is looking around saying, this is marvelous. That's amazing. The stone that is rejected is now the chief cornerstone of this beautiful spiritual temple. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Look at God turning something that everybody else thought was nothing and turning it into the essential thing. You can imagine where this is going, right? This is the most quoted passage in the New Testament. All of these verses are a direct reference to Jesus Christ. Here he is, the stone that the builders rejected. The Jews didn't want Jesus. The Romans didn't want Jesus. Sinners did not want Jesus. He came unto his own, but his own did not receive him. Here he is, the one that's rejected by man. He becomes the chief cornerstone of salvation, not only for the Jews, but for all Gentiles everywhere. Can I get a Gentile? Amen. That includes you and me. And now all of a sudden we are built into a holy temple that Peter talks about later on. This is the power of God. Jesus Christ, the stone that was rejected by men, has become the chief cornerstone. Matthew 21, Mark 12, Luke 20, Acts 4, Ephesians 2, 1 Peter 2. This is all over the New Testament church. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone of Lakeside Fellowship. Amen. This is the story of Lakeside. You know, when you start a church, there's all kinds of human worries, real doubt that goes on in the hearts of the planter and the core group, and everybody's wondering, how are we going to build a church? All we have, humanly speaking, is a message. We're just giving a message to people, and this message sounds really foolish. And this message sounds like it doesn't make sense. But out we go, talking to people, knocking on doors in Polk City, Iowa, saying, hey, we have this new church. We'd like you to come try it out. And the stone that the builders rejected, be like, nah, it's okay. I got a boat. Amen? I got a boat. I got money. I got community. I got a business. I got other things going on. I'm not coming to your church at West Elementary School. And all of a sudden you walk away from some of the houses and you think, oh my, this is going to be really hard. This is the stone that the builders rejected. People are like, no, I don't need that Jesus. Because when we talk about Christ, we talk about a message. And it seems foolish that God would come down to the earth. And it seems foolish that God would allow himself to be humbled to the point of death, even death on a cross. It seems foolish, but here we are. You start seeing that this message has power from heaven. Can I get an amen? This message that we give people starts transforming the lives of not everybody, but certain people begin to come underneath the sway that they're a sinner, that they need forgiveness, and Christ is the only way to heaven. We did this day after day, week after week, and I remember going to a certain house, and there was a dog in the front yard. And I'm like, it makes me a little nervous. I got to get to that door, though. I got to get an invitation to Lakeside Fellowship. So I come up to the dog, and I'm like, hey, pretty dog, cute little dog. That dog is going to rip my head off. That dog lunged at me, about clipped my nose. I pulled back as fast as possible. The lady that lives in the house, she's like, oh, my goodness, Fido, don't rip off the young man's head. She comes out to the street. Her name's Erica. I give her an invitation. The very next day, she comes to the very first service we ever have. As she comes, she hears the gospel for the first time. And after service, she's feeling conviction from the Holy Spirit. She taps on Dave's shoulder. Dave thought she was going for a piece of blueberry pie. And he's like, no, you can't have that. That's mine. Just kidding. Dave said, no. He's like, well, yeah, what do you need? Do you need some food? There's food here. And she's like, no, I want to talk to you about the salvation thing. So Dave pulls her aside into the front yard of Kurt and Jenny Supra's front yard. And there us three lead Erica to Christ. And that was the first recorded salvation at Lakeside Fellowship. Hallelujah. Now, praise God, he hasn't stopped saving people. Amen. Jesus keeps saving people because that's what he does. So we celebrate, we praise him because we celebrate the gospel. And finally, we praise God because he's been faithful. We celebrate God because he's been faithful. We praise him. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. The psalmist ends the same way he starts. For his steadfast love endures forever. We praise God because he's been faithful. As we look back at these old photos and we look at what God has done, he's been so faithful to Lakeside. Can I get an amen? We look at these old pictures. That's a Corey Beamer, Chad Suter, blast from the past. And that's my wife Danielle and her discipleship group at that time in the early days. God has been so faithful. But I want to finish my sermon not by looking back. I want Lakeside to think about the future. Think about all that God has done. He has been so faithful with his hesed love for this church. He's not done yet. Amen? May God give you guys vision to plant more churches. May he give you vision for the next season of time. What are the new Lakeside Fellowships that need to pop up, not only in this community, but in other communities? And may God give you inspiration to say we can trust a faithful, hesed, loving God to be with us in the future as he has been with us in the past. One final word about Jesus and then we're done. No one called out to the Lord in more distress than Jesus. Nobody. He was under the most distress of any human ever in the Garden of Gethsemane. He cried out to God in ways that you and I can appreciate. It's Jesus who had enemies, Jews, Rome, and Satan himself. No one sang like Jesus. He always had a song. And it was only Jesus who was the rejected stone that has become the chief cornerstone of his church. Hundreds of millions of people have woken up this morning and have globally worshiped this king, this cornerstone. So for those of you who don't know Christ, I invite you to believe in him, to repent of your sins. Maybe you came in like Terry Johnson of old with distress in your heart and your mind that only Jesus can heal. Only Jesus can save you. Only Christ can give you that salvation. So the invitation to be saved is here. Secondly, if you are a believer, you have so many reasons to praise God. You have so many. God has been so faithful. So in whatever season you're in, praise his holy name. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time in the word. Thank you for your grace, your mercy. Thank you for Psalm 118. We have so many reasons to praise you this morning. You've been so good to Lakeside Fellowship. You have been so good for so many reasons. So God, whatever reasons that are in our mind and heart, as Pastor Dave comes up and he takes us through the connection card and the applications, Holy Spirit of God, be at work in the believer. And Lord, give Lakeside a vision for the future, future church planting, future multiplication. And Lord, I pray that you'd be with anybody here who does not yet know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. God, would you please be gracious to them? Help them to see that the stone that the builders has rejected has become the only means of salvation for their soul. And we'll give you all the praise, God, for what you're going to do. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you.